Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
There you are. It's been so long since you've been on the show, Ben Crenshaw. I've got to reach out and see if you've got time. I know you're really busy. Michael Patrick Shields is going to be on the show with Travel Tips. He's our travel guru extraordinaire, author of Less Than Torrid Tales. He's a radio show talk show host. And yeah, I can't wait to talk to him again. Robert Colias, Maui News journalist, author, Kapalua Water Fight. He's going to be with us too. Ed Kagiyama, general manager, Pearl at Kalaauau, and head coach of HPU men's and women's golf teams. He's with us. Mark Rolfing is kicking it off with us this morning, analyst and commentator, NBC Golf Channel. Can't wait to talk to him. Let me let you know, though, first, mostly sunny skies today, isolated showers, winds are variable to 15, so light winds, hot. 85 to 90 tonight, fortunately, just like it was earlier this morning, 75 degrees feels really nice. So the lows between 70 and 75, some showers, variable winds sticking with us, though. And on the Big Island, mostly sunny, some haze on the leeward side. We'll probably feel that, too, across Hawaii. Scattered showers windward, isolated showers leeward, high between 83 and 88. The winds are variable, too, to 15 miles per hour. Oh, and you want to go out and play a round of golf? Jack and Jill are heading out to Makalei, and there's an 836 and a 918 and a 1032 if you'd like to go. May you hit the sweet spot every time. And let's see now, Beach Bums, they're on the course at Poipu. You can play at 820, 920, 10 o'clock, 1250, and Kauai Lagoons has an 856. We've also got one on Oahu, that would be Pearl at Kalaauau, 832, 956, 1110. That's what the Pearl Country Club is now, Pearl at Kalaauau. We'll have more on that coming up. Hawaii Kai has an 856 at 1028. The Wind Talkers are at Turtle Bay. Yeah, it gets on the point. It gets really breezy. 848, 932, 1048 if you'd like a tee time. Royal Hawaiian, 852, 928, 1020. Bayview, 836, 920, 1052. And Wailea, this is the ninth day of aeration on the Gold Course, just so you know. There's an 838 and a 940. The Emerald Course, where the Rat Pack is out. The Emerald Course has a 1010 and an 1140. And the Blue Course has an 830, a 940, and a 1050. And the Blue Tardos. The Blue Tardos, they're on the golf course. You could be too if you'd like this tee time at Maui Nui, 856 and 920. So there you have it. Lots of tee times. Have a wonderful time, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. We're going to come back. Mark Rolfing's got the inside information on what's going down on Maui after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
I'm Danielle Tucker, host of The Golf Club.
Brought to you by the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and great fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf, the game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. In Evilay, next to Costco Gas, and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy Maui.
The Golf Club
on 101.1.
Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator, analyst. He's the member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame in 2000, inducted then, member, DePaul University Hall of Fame. You can find more about Mark Rolfing at golfhawaii.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. I'm calling in here from Stamford, Connecticut, where I'm in the middle of a 10-day run on Golf Central for Golf Channel, and I came here thinking I was going to spend most of my time talking about the U.S. Ryder Cup team picks and then the European Ryder Cup team picks and generally the Ryder Cup, and now we're talking more about a water dispute some 5,000 miles away in the middle of the ocean. It's just remarkable.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's really, it's sad. it's sad that they were arguing over it for so long instead of being able to come to some sort of an agreement or some solution to the problem. Can you lay it out for us, Mark?
Yeah, basically what the situation is, Danielle, I mean, the number one overriding factor is Maui is in the middle of a severe and prolonged drought. It's been a drought for quite some time, and that's had an impact on a lot of the water sources. Now, having said that, the primary water source for the Kapalua golf courses is the Pu'ukukui watershed, which is up at the top of the West Maui Mountains, and it rains about 200 inches a year up there, and it's still raining up there, so there's lots of water up there. The issue is not the water at the Pu'ukukui watershed, it's the delivery system. So there's kind of a archaic ancient ditch system that goes down the West Maui Mountains. It's been in existence for probably 100 years, way back into the early 1900s. And during that time, the owners of the ditch system, which is Maui Land and Pine, didn't really do a whole lot to keep it up and going, an operating manner. And so it has deteriorated, and I would have thought that they would have worked out some sort of solution. As you know, they sold the golf courses to Mr. Tadashi and I of the TY Corporation in Japan. Those courses were sold, started back in 2007. And in that sale agreement was a water guarantee by Maui Land and Pine to Mr. Yanai that guaranteed him sufficient water to maintain the golf courses. Well, that went away about a month ago when there was a Tier 4 situation put on the West Maui area, and no water was allowed to be put on the golf course, and that's when the litigation ensued. I think Mr. Yanai felt like he had to do something to get the attention of everybody because the course was deteriorating rapidly. And so now we're in the middle of a litigation, and that's never working toward a solution in my mind. It's always working toward who's got the strongest position in a lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's troubling, because no one's trying to, get to the core of it. Will the century be played at Kapalua? And the century, a lot of folks, it's a golf tournament. It's not just a golf tournament. It provides incredible amounts of money to, for instance, Maui charities, like something $768,000. $10 million is, businesses are not going to get. That number is thrown around as what the century brings to Maui for generating for businesses. There's a huge number that you could also put on the table, because when the century is being played in Hawaii on Maui, it's talked about around the world. It's talked about in Europe. It's talked about in Asia. It's talked about on the continent in the U.S. And there's pictures of it, and there's all this coverage of it, and that's advertising for Maui or Hawaii for people to come, because of course we've made visitors our number one industry. So it was just like, I can't believe they let it go this long before they decided, okay, let's put some water on the course. How did that come about?
Well, I'll tell you this, Danielle. A week ago today, I would have said there is 0% chance of having the century in January. There was literally no chance that tournament could happen. Now, that was not being talked about publicly, obviously, but in the backroom discussions, it was pretty clear that the golf courses were dying, particularly the plantation course, which is the home course, and there wasn't any solution in sight. Now, having said that, on Saturday of last week, two things happened that really changed everything. The first thing that happened is the Water Commission, after some tremendous hard work by the PGA Tour and the folks at Century and the folks at the TY Corporation and the state and the county, they lifted the stage 4, tier 4 water situation and allowed the use of water at 60% of capacity. Now, that water is not coming from Pu'ukukui. It's not coming from the top of the mountain through the system. It is coming from a couple of wells that are located that have pump stations more down toward Kahana. So it's a different source, and this, keep in mind, is only a temporary situation. This
right.
does not solve the big problem in the long term, which is a little bit distressing to me that we're focusing just solely on the short term, and I don't see any progress yet toward a long-term solution. So, okay, now some water can be put down on the course, and everybody says, isn't that great? But the fact is, you can put as much water down on the golf course as you want, and if people are tromping around on it playing golf, it's never going to work. It's never going to take. So Mr. Tadashi and I, the CEO of the TY Corporation, had to make a very difficult decision last week, and that was that he was going to temporarily close the courses, both of them, the Bay Course and the Plantation, and he was going to close them for a minimum of 2 months to see whether or not they could actually have some progress made with this water. That was an incredibly selfless decision in my mind. It was incredible that he would make that decision. It's going to cost him millions of dollars in foregone revenue. But he was willing to do that, and that is the only chance that we have that this tournament is going to be played. It's no guarantee by any means, but at least now there's a chance and there's hope.
Right. Okay, so assuming the grass isn't at a point where it can't even, you know, absorb water and get back to good health, you know, what would happen if it couldn't be played at the at Kapalua, the Century? Couldn't be played.
It would
there.
Be devastating in so many ways. You outlined, you know, the charitable part and the economic impact, but more than anything, it's become such a part of our island and our community. It's, you know, it's just inbred in everybody that this is our tournament. It's the biggest sporting event on the island, and it just means so much to everybody. And I think psychologically, you know, in the aftermath of the Lahaina wildfires and everything else that everyone is still recovering from, it would be a devastating blow. It's got to be decided, I think, pretty quickly. They can't wait 2 months, I can tell you that. That would be way too long to make a decision to move the tournament.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you this, in talking with the Century folks, which I do pretty much every day, they very much feel like this tournament has to be played somewhere, and I totally agreed with them. If that tournament were to take a year off, given the way the world of golf is changing, I think it could be in trouble. Because the schedule on the PGA Tour is going to contract. It's going to get smaller. It's not going to get bigger. So having said that, I think looking at other options right now is something that is going on, and it has to be analyzed. One of the things that really concerns me is there was a notice that came out last night, Danielle, from the Hawaii Water Service, which basically scolded everybody on West Maui that has been irrigating now for the past week, since this temporary lift came into place. And what the Hawaii Water Service is saying, everybody is exceeding their capacity. They're putting too much water down. And they put a notice out to everybody that said, hey, if you guys don't stop, I'm talking about homeowners and condo associations and everybody, not the golf course. But if everybody doesn't stop exceeding their allocation, they're just going to have to turn the water off again because the reservoir where the water is being pumped is going to go dry again.
Oh, no.
So everybody's got to behave over there and play by the rules. But it is a very delicate situation.
Now, what are the agronomists saying at Kapalua? Are they noticing a change in the grass from the water that's been
good?
Yes.
Yes, it's actually we're seeing a little bit of green, and I think the agronomists believe that there is a chance. Now, you know, if you think about the tremendous condition that golf course was in a year ago, and pretty much every year, in 4 months, can it be brought back to being that lush, green, typical plantation course look? I don't think so. But you know what? I would be fine with that. And I was watching the other night, Golf Channel was replaying the Tiger Woods Ernie Els.
Oh, yeah.
incredible finish back in 2000. If you look at that 25 years ago, the plantation course was brown. That's the way it looked back then. That was early on in its life, and it was firm and fast and hard, and it had a very brown look to it. So that could well be the kind of condition that the course is in January, and I think that would be okay. And I think the players would understand what's going on. We're in the middle of a big drought, and so sometimes you have to make sacrifices. And by the way, 50 years from now, you know, when we're dead and gone, you know, all the golf courses are going to look brown. We're going to run out of land and water on this planet, and people are going to look at golf courses and say, hey, they don't need to be lush green. As a matter of fact, they're going to play easier if they're a little bit brown looking. Just take a look at the courses in England. That's
exactly
the way they've been for 400 years.
Yes, I agree. What was scary to me is the idea that, you know, if Century had to take the tournament and play it somewhere else. You know, I was thinking, couldn't it be played at some other golf course in Hawaii? But more than likely, they'd probably want to just do it someplace that they knew was ready to go on the mainland. Would it ever come back? You know, would...
Yeah, here's the problem with playing it in Hawaii, Daniel. If you look at the most likely place, that would be the island of Oahu. But I really believe if you put it the week before Sony on that island, it wouldn't be good for either event. It would have a negative impact on both the events. And, you know, Sony has been at Wildlife for so long and had that particular week on the schedule, and I do not see them moving to Oahu for the event. Okay, you got the same problem on the Big Island, because you've got the Mitsubishi Electric Championship at Hualalai. Are they going to want a PGA Tour event to come in and start selling sponsorships and taking volunteers and doing all this on a very small infrastructure of golf, you know, on a very big island? I don't think that would work. You know, could you do it on the island of Kauai? I don't know. A major PGA Tour event with all the infrastructure and everything, I think that would be extremely difficult. The Grand Slam worked there, but that was only four players.
Right.
yes. So I don't really see a viable option in Hawaii. And I think if it were to move, it's likely it would go to the mainland.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, it would be nice if it could be somewhere in Hawaii temporarily, just until everything came back. But again, what you said about brown, it's not a bad thing in golf. You know, just because we don't have lush green fairways, like you said, England, they've been playing on brown fairways, and it's easier to play. Your ball doesn't stop quite as quickly as it does in the grass. Ah, my goodness. When do you think they'll have an idea of whether this is going to work?
I'm getting a sense that 2 weeks is kind of the time frame that they're going to give this thing to see.
Okay.
You know, the signs of life that we're seeing in the grass still are very small, and they're mostly in the perimeter areas because there has been play, limited, but there has been some play out there, and the golf course doesn't officially close down until Monday. I think 2 weeks is probably realistic. The mainland options aren't great either. I don't see how you could play in Florida, for example, because that week in January it gets dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Florida. And the tee times, you know, for Century go till 10 o'clock at night. Now, how's that going to work? Maybe California is an option, but or Las Vegas or Phoenix, but... Look, it's never going to be the same if it's not the plantation course on Maui, and I think everybody is doing everything in their power to see if that can happen.
Yeah, and I'm sure glad they're shutting it down and nobody gets to be on the golf course while it tries to recuperate. And, you know, by the way, listening and watching you and with Damon Hack on Golf Channel, it was very good. Thank you so much. You really settled me down because, you know, you had, when you said hope, you know, that there's hope. Well, it's not a done deal, but at least we have hope now. You didn't have hope a couple days before that, did you?
No, I didn't. And I will tell you, you know, I've been doing this broadcasting for 40 years, which is a pretty long time. And that was one of the most nervous sort of 5 minute stretches that I've had, because I had to make sure I got it right. And as you can well imagine, there were a lot of different people from a lot of different organizations telling me what they thought I ought to say or do. And I didn't want to feel like I was sitting up there reading some kind of a, you know, speech that I had written down or something. So I was a little bit nervous, but I think I got through it all right.
Okay. Yes, you did. You did.
I gave everybody the perspective that they can now look at it and see, yeah, everybody's trying hard and there is hope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wish the guys with the water situation had been more cooperative in the beginning, but hey, that's then and this is now, and let's move forward. Speaking of, you mentioned the Ryder Cup. I have to ask you a question, because I was going, okay, here's the teams, you know, it's Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay and Bryson DeChambeau and Harris English and Ben Griffin and Russell Henley and Colin Morikawa and Xander Schauffele and JJ Spaun and Scottie Scheffler and Justin Thomas and Cameron Young. Then there's the captain, Keegan Bradley, and the vice captains, Jim Furyk, Kevin Kisner, Webb Simpson, Brent Snedeker, Gary Woodland. And then we have, you know, the European team. It's Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Rasmus Højgaard, Robert McIntyre, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Rose. We have 12 guys for our team, and they have 6 for theirs. I'm confused.
Well, they're going to make the picks on Monday.
Oh!
So they get 6 captains picked also. And if you look at the players that did not qualify, there are 5 players that are going to be locked for picks. Shane Lowry will get picked. John Rahm will get picked. Ludvig Åberg will get picked. Victor Hovland will get picked. And Sepp Straka will get picked. I think there's only one question mark for the European team, and that's going to be, is the last pick going to go to Matthew Fitzpatrick or Matt Wallace, who right now is in second place in Europe? It's going to be fascinating to see, but it's going to be pretty much the same European team that they fielded in Italy 2 years ago, and that's the team that just shellacked the U.S. And I look at those two teams, and I look at what European pairings are going to go out there. It's going to be Fleetwood and McIlroy again. It's going to be Åberg and Hovland again. It's going to be John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton again. How are we going to come up with teams to beat those guys? I don't know. I think Europe should be the favorite.
Okay. Well, I hope you have time after they've made the captain's picks to be on the show so we can delve into that a little bit more in depth and then, you know, also get an update on how the grass is doing. Yeah.
We'll do it for sure.
Thank you so much. Mark Rolfing, wonderful. Thank you for taking the time out of your very busy day to be on the show. Really appreciate you. Thank you.
You got it, Daniel.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to go to, yes, we're going to the place that's brand new. It is Pearl at Kalaauau. You know how long they kept, what was the Pearl Country Club? Shut down over a year, I think it was. But we're going to get everything from Ed Kageyama, PGA General Manager of Pearl at Kalaauau, and also the head coach, HPU Men's and Women's Golf. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, it is Aloha Powers Labor Day week-long celebration. Uh-huh, time to retire those big box tools. Well, Maruyama is on sale, up to 25% off. You heard me right. Maruyama is on sale, up to 25% off. Riding, walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. And we have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial-sized. Mow it, blow it, bag it. You know the next one. Done. That's the good one. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome to Pearl at Kalaauau, nestled within the Kalaauau Ahupua'a Land Division. Pearl at Kalaauau is a club deeply rooted in the Mo'olelo, the stories, Wahipana, the storied places, and traditional names of the Aina, while honoring its history as Pearl Country Club. Ed Kagiyama, PGA, is the general manager at Pearl at Kalaauau and head coach of HPU's men's and women's golf. Welcome to the clubhouse, Ed.
Thank you, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. This is awesome. I really. How long was Pearl closed to do all the renovations?
It's about a year, give or take a couple months. But yeah, it's about a year process between doing all the renovations on the golf course and then also in the entire clubhouse area.
So, what did you renovate on the golf course?
So a lot of it is infrastructure. We, the golf course is going on 60 years old, and, it's about time that, things needed to change and update. Greens construction and design, originally was in the 60s, and so design construction standards, the USGA spec, those are all modern, modern standards of construction and build. And so that's what we have to do. We have to kind of bring it up to, current standards. A lot of the green construction, we have to do some drainage, all new irrigation within the golf course. It's a state-of-the-art irrigation system that can measure, the atmosphere, precipitation. And so it can adjust itself based on what's going on. If it's high humidity, it doesn't put down as much water, or if it's a really hot, dry day. And then, it'll adjust everything. So if rain overnight, it'll shut itself off. And so it's just a smarter way for us to be able to manage our resource. Tonight, it'll shut itself off. And so it's just a smarter way for us to be able to manage our resources.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you don't waste water.
Yeah, it's, water, everyone's concerned, and as we should be, about water and conservation of water and how we use water. And, yes, it's just part of our responsibility in, taking care of our aina and our resources of the water and just how we use it. There are a lot of benefits of golf courses that I think a lot of people don't know, is that it filters out a lot of impurities before it gets, the water gets to its water table.
Yes.
And so And so having golf courses around and putting water out on golf courses actually helps to kind of filter out the water with a lot of the impurities of, you know, petroleum products on the roads and all those kinds of stuff. So, we just need to be how we use our water and resources, that we just need to be smart about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the equipment that you're now using is smart, so it knows, you know, like you said, it rained overnight. Don't need a water now, you know. But yeah.
The new systems now, the old systems used to, irrigate by a series of irrigation heads all going off at one time. Now, in today's standards, actually you can control each individual sprinkler head to put water out, how much water you want to put out, where you want to put it out, and for how long. And so we actually can control the irrigation system by individual head. And there's thousands of them on the golf course.
Wow.
But we can control them individually by individual heads. And so that's, you know, it's just time that Pearl had, you know, updated its systems and infrastructure to, you know, be smarter. Even like our lighting in the clubhouse, you know, just, you know, LEDs, getting away from inefficient light bulbs. Refrigeration systems, you know, all those types of things. And so it was just time for us to kind of bring everything up to date.
Right on. And you still have the fabulous view from where you are. Yeah, right?
We that's one of the things that I think that when we see it every day, we don't appreciate it as much as we should. And so, you know, sometimes we got to take the time to just kind of stop and just look at it. And so, we tried to take more advantage of the view. We increased our lanai spacing and seating, and it's a great dining venue right now on the outdoor lanai. It is actually really peaceful, and so every once in a while we'll have meetings on the lanai just to kind of change it up. But on the upstairs, the banquet room, we actually bumped the windows out to the edge of the building to capture, you know, more of that view. It's a beautiful view, especially in the late afternoon and the evenings when it sunsets.
Yeah. Wow.
It's spectacular.
Yeah. Oh, and back to the grass. You know, we've been talking about grass this morning. Past Pelham, it's a real hardy grass, isn't it? It thrives even if the conditions aren't perfect.
Right, and it was developed in Georgia, kind of southeast, and we're, you know, you're close to the ocean, you have high humidity, a lot of sun, and we in Hawaii we actually started adopting that in the 90s, and it has proven to be a very good grass for Hawaii, especially where we're near the ocean. With high humidity, we had salt spray.
Yep.
A lot of our water sources also have some salts in it, groundwater, especially down in the Ava Plain.
Sure.
And so when we're irrigating that, there's a lot of time there is a lot of salt in the water, and which makes it, you know, salts aren't very good for a lot of grass types, but for Past Pelham, yeah, the Past Pelham loves the salt.
It doesn't care. It likes it. That's wonderful.
It does. It's proven to be a really good grass in Hawaii.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. So what are your old timers? What's the reaction? Because, you know, they always tell you the truth.
Yeah. And so, you know, anything we did to the golf course, it would make it perceivably harder just by bringing it up to, you know, today's design standards, mm-hmm. architectural design standards. It would just make it harder just because of what it was designed like from in the 60s. And so we didn't design it to become harder. It's just that when you start adding architectural elements to it and what we call shot values on the golf course, that it just naturally just kind of makes it more difficult than what it used to be. I still think that, you know, I'll go play at like Hoʻokalei, and I think that's a hard golf course. It's a very challenging golf course, very demanding on your shots. Kapolei is the same way. It can be very demanding on some of your shots. And so it's the design aspects of the golf course that make it a little harder. Difficulty in and of itself was not part of the design plan. Partly also too is we want to be able to attract a higher profile or a higher caliber competitive venue, you know, tournament. And so these are some of the things that we had to do to, you know, attract that type of event. But at the same time, you know, you can still go around the golf course and not lose the golf ball.
Right on.
And then, yeah, and so, you know, I think that, you know, as people learn to play it, you actually have more playing options than before. You can, you know, a lot of bump and runs, you know, those kinds of things. And so it is naturally harder just by design, you know, the architectural design aspects of today. But it was not necessarily on purpose. But from our reviews of talking to people, once they play it a few times and start understanding it, they actually really like the design. It requires a lot of thinking, strategy. But, you know, at the same time, it maybe you end up in a bunker, but you won't lose the ball.
Yeah, you know, it's when you get used to playing something, you do it over and over and over again, it becomes rote. And so when your rote action, you know, is on a new tabletop, so to speak, it don't work. You've got to,
right.
So I can see where it'd be really frustrating for people who played it every weekend or, you know, once a week. So, and then now they're getting used to it and seeing it. It just takes time to make the adjustment, like so many things do. It's uncomfortable in the beginning, and then after a while, it'll feel really good. Plus, you have, what is this, Namomi Ekolu, a three-hole pitch putt course, April?
Yeah, the Three Pearls. And so, yes, Namomi Ekolu is our little three-hole pitch putt. We had, you know, some space to use. Extra space, and so we decided, yeah, let's create a little fun place for people to either try golf for the first time or for kids to be able to play it. And it looks like a place like the big course or, you know, people after the round of golf and want to have a beverage out there and settle some bets. it's just a fun place to go and hang out. We actually had a lot of people are wanted to buy it out as a venue space for a party. We had a couple, you know, company parties out there, you know, this birthday parties, those kinds of things. So, yeah, so it's actually getting a lot of activity and a lot of interest. And I encourage everyone to come take a look at it. It's actually a lot of fun.
It sounds like it is, you know, and then you don't have to take it too seriously if you make you know, if you're not that good at the game or you've never played the game. You know, that's where people like to go, something like this, so they can get a feel for it, don't you think?
Yeah, and it only requires two clubs, you know, a wedge and a putter. You don't have to go out and get a, you know, full set of clubs. And, you get a flavor of it. And so what we've also seen is a lot of, let's say, couples where one person plays golf, the other person doesn't. And they want the other person to kind of learn and try. And so this is a very kind of low barrier, a low intimidation way to just try out golf, see what it's like. And, you know, and they end up having a lot of fun. And so I think it's a good way to sort of activate people into playing golf and learning about golf and just, you know, pique the interest.
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenally good idea. September is, gosh, next week. Where did the year go? Okay, September 5th, though. And you've got it, HPU Golf Fear the Fin fundraiser. Fear the Fin.
Yep.
You got to explain to me, what does Fear the Fin mean?
Well, you know, HPU is HPU Sharks, right?
Ah,
the Sharks.
So, of course.
Yeah, so Fear the Fin. You know, you see that fin coming in the water? Yeah, you got it.
Fear the Fin. So they're having a fundraiser at Pearl?
Yeah, it's our big fundraiser. This is our fifth annual fundraiser. As everyone knows, you know, college sports is having trouble. You know, you see programs closing all the time across the nation. We see whole colleges closing across the nation.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it is struggling for, you know, everyone's sort of viability. You know, it's critical. So fundraising is a big part of it. And, you know, the school itself provides us, you know, enough money for us to go have a program. But what we want to do is we need more competitive tournaments for us to go to so that we can improve and get better.
Yeah.
So fundraising is more supplemental to help us sort of build a fuller tournament schedule because just about every tournament we have to travel. You know, it's multi-day events, so we're staying at a hotel, you know, those kinds of things. And so that's just to make the better the program better, attract better players and better student athletes, and ultimately become better citizens in our communities. And you know, the one of the tournaments that we go to every 4 years is a tournament in Japan, and it's the top Japan schools, some Chinese schools, Thai schools, Korean schools, play a tournament over there, and we want to go back in 2027. So that's a big part of our fundraiser. And what it does is actually gives our kids an opportunity to just go somewhere else, experience a new culture, a new way of life, meet new people. And, you know, we went in 23, and one of our players from Colorado had a great time over there. Didn't, you know, first time there, loved the food, loved the people, loved the lifestyle. And through one of our supporters, was actually offered an internship this past summer in Hokkaido.
Wow.
Went there, loved it. Now has a job offer to go back there after he graduates.
And
it can be life-changing for some of our student-athletes to have these type of opportunities, and we want to provide that for them.
So this is on September 5th. That's right around the corner. Can people still sign up to be participating in the Fear the Finn fundraiser?
Yeah, the easiest way to find out is on the HPU athletics website, hpusharks.com. There's a link there. Also on Instagram, our team Instagram is at hpugolf, and in the bio there's a link to it. There's always room. You know, everyone's going to get a pair of Oakleys. Everyone who plays gets a pair of Oakleys.
Wow.
A lot of prizes, a lot of good food, and you know, I know someone at Pearl, and so the menu is a really good menu, and it's a really good time for people in our community just to meet these fabulous student athletes that we have.
Yeah.
One of the things I do want to say is that we pride ourselves on the academic side, and our women's team has been, you know, nationally ranked in the top 25 schools, D2 schools of golf. In women's sports, and 1 year they're number 9 in the nation on team GPA. The prior years they were 14th in the nation, and so we pride ourselves on those kinds of things. And so again, you know, the wins and losses are important, but you know, people forget about them. And but it's what they do after college into life is what, you know, is, you know, as they give back to the communities and become really good citizens,
yeah,
is more important.
Awesome. So in addition to the fundraiser, this is a golf outing at Pearl, at Kalaau, I assume. We've also got Pearl hosting the very first AJGA tournament in Hawaii in October. How did this come about?
I mentioned that we're, you know, part of our redesign and the plan is that to kind of attract a higher level competition. You know, becoming that type of venue. And in the 45 years of American Junior Golf Association, this is the first ever time that they're going to be in Hawaii. For those that don't know AJGA, it is the top level junior golf tournament series in the nation. It is not just a U.S. program. It's actually a very international. And so there's kids from all over the world. And these are the top players play this tour. And some alumnus that people may recognize, Scotty Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Nelly Korda, you know, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, they've all come through AJGA. And a lot of the players on tour, the men's and women's tours, all played AJGA events. Alison Corpuz, Mario Galdiano, they all played AJGA. And so for us to have our first ever one in Hawaii is huge. And for our local kids, being able to have the opportunity to play an AJG event, you know, they have to travel a long way. And maybe they get into one tournament, but to get the attention from other colleges and, you know, looks at opportunities to play at really good college teams and exposure, it gets really difficult. And so by us being able to provide a tournament here for our local kids to play against these nationally recognized junior golfers is huge for us. Part of it is we do have exemptions, local exemptions for Aikiki, and that was a big part of us negotiating into having the AJGA tournament here in Hawaii, is that we needed to make sure our local kids had the presence and an opportunity.
Right on.
And today and tomorrow, at Pearl, this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon, is actually a one of our qualifiers for those exempt spots.
Wow.
So there'll be you know, a bunch of our local Kiki competing out at Pearl today for the last few spots.
That's awesome. So much good stuff is going on. This is wonderful. Ed Kageyama, PGA General Manager of Pearl at Kalaauau, Head Coach HPU Men's and Women's Golf. Thank you for all the work that you put in to make sure all of this stuff comes to pass. Thank you.
Daniel, thank you. Thanks, Seb. Have a great morning.
You too. Aloha. I hope you'll be back on again soon to tell us what the results are. Okay?
Oh, most definitely.
Awesome.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you.
Aloha. We're going to come back. You know, Robert Kolias, the Maui News reporter from 1990 to 2024, is now the general assignment reporter for Hawaii Journalism Initiative. Hawaii Journalism Initiative. We're going to talk with him after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Evaside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Robert Kolias, the Maui News reporter from 1990 to 2024, who is now the general assignment reporter for Hawaii Journalism Initiative. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks, Danielle. It's great to be on. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Very well. Very well done. Yes, yes, you are.
Oh, good. Thank you. And Robert Kolias is also Maui News Sports Hall of Fame curator, National Sports Media Association named Robert Kolias Hawaii Sports Writer of the Year in 2021. But before we get into the weeds, what is the Hawaii Journalism Initiative?
We are a nonprofit arm of MauiNow.com, which is where our work is posted online.
Okay, so tell me why. You know,
as you said, I worked at the Maui News for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I was a guild representative, which guild is the word for newspaper union. And when I started at the Maui News in 1990, before my now 35 and 32-year-old children were born, each of them, obviously, we were owned by the Cameron family, which owned at the time Queen Kahumanu Center, the old cannery where, pineapple was canned.
Yes.
And you know, that cannery doesn't exist anymore, hasn't for a long time. But we were bought in the year 2000 by Ogden Newspapers. And for a long time, we had a really good relationship with them in April or early, I think April of 2024, after some rough negotiations. And, we knew how newspapers were doing over the years. We took several pay cuts.
Wow.
They worked with us, and, sometimes we would get snapbacks and this and that. But in 2024, things really started to go a little bit more south for our workforce. And we had a very veteran local newsroom. And, bottom line, now all of us are gone from that newsroom. They announced in April of 2024 that they were going from 6 days a week publishing to 1 day a week. It's a weekly newspaper now, and that's WEEKLY.
Right.
And I'll leave the A out of weekly. So things changed. Some of us started to age. I'm 61. Some of my colleagues decided to retire. My dear friend, Matt Thayer, one of the most talented photographers around anywhere, not just in Hawaii, retired. And our newsroom, including my colleague now at Hawaii Journalism Initiative, Colleen Uechi, who was our managing editor, moved over to try to keep journalism alive on Maui. Lee Imada, our longtime managing editor, retired. The Maui News is still functioning, but without any real local connection, as far as knowledge of the island of Maui. They have a very much smaller staff, and there are a lot of mistakes that get into print, and they're trying, but they've also sold the property where the printing press is and the building that we were in forever. Buildings that we were in forever in Wailuku, they sold that property a few months ago to the Kaiser folks that run Maui Memorial Medical Center. The Maui News has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I got that. Boy, but I'm glad you're continuing, providing information, news, and everything that you do. How do we find the articles at Hawaii Journalism Initiative?
Online for free at MauiNow.com.
MauiNow.com. Okay.
Yep.
Got to check that out. All right. Let's get down to the brass tacks here. We're the sentry at Kapalua on the plantation courts. Time, essence, problem. We've got water. gee, I wish the two guys who were arguing over this or the, I don't know, that to go into litigation over something that is so important to the economy of Maui and to Maui charities and to businesses across Maui with this really important tournament about to happen or not. Well, give me your thoughts on all of this.
Well, first of all, water issues on an island surrounded by salt water, and limited amounts of usable irrigation water, now non-potable or potable, however you pronounce that word, is different than potable drinking water. Water is precious. Water is life. Water is also very complex. There are a few different watersheds on Maui. Tadashi Yanai, a billionaire who founded Uniqlo, which I've found out is a Japanese clothing store. He's also the richest man in Japan. He owns the plantation and bay courses at Kapalua. If you've seen pictures, things don't look good. Mm-hmm. The water situation, we've been in a drought for a very long time. And the Pu'u Kukui watershed in West Maui, the flow in the Hono Kohau ditch has not been up to its usual numbers. So there's several different steps to, the rules about water. The Commission on Water Resource Management is a state agency that runs, that kind of makes the decisions on water usage. And, Maui Land and Pine, which actually used to be the company that owned the Maui News way back when, before selling to Ogden newspapers in 2000, used to own, both golf courses. They sold in 2009 and 2010 to Tadashi and I, the billionaire guy, who is doing a lot to try and keep things going. But bottom line, Danielle, the water has been, kind of shut off. There's homesteaders up there that, haven't really come into this equation yet as far as the reports we've seen. But I've been talking to Maui Land and Pine. I've been talking to the folks who filed a lawsuit on August 18th, which was a Monday, 2 Mondays ago, when we come up on this Monday in 2 days from now. 2 weeks ago, I should say, they filed a lawsuit, and it's clearly, it's a 60-page, well thought out, clearly planned out lawsuit. That the timing of that was key in that it was the week of the tour championship, so the PGA Tour wasn't going to say a whole lot that week, which they didn't. Bottom line is, I've been talking to Mark Rolfing, who knows. There's no one on earth who knows more about Kapalua and the Century, which has been, sponsored by several different title sponsors, among them Mercedes, SBS, Hyundai, et cetera, over the years. Since 1999, it started as the Tournament of Champions, and it now includes all PGA Tour winners from the year before, but also the top 50 on the FedEx Cup playoff list. It's a signature event. It means a whole lot to the island's economy. $50 million or so is the annual estimated economic impact, and especially, Danielle, for West Maui, just over 2 years after the devastating Lahaina fire killed 102 people, displaced 10 to 12,000 people. It's desperately needed. And, they're trying to do their best. and water's been turned back on. I'm sure that's a collaboration between, you know, kind of the state and county, Mayor Bisson, Governor Green saying, hey, you know, Commission on Water Resource Management, please turn on the water. Maui Land and Pine, please make sure the water gets to the golf course. They are going to shut down for 60 days beginning Tuesday, which is, you know, that's a lot of money that they're giving up, but Tadashi and I can afford it for sure. And he's doing that in a step to try and save the tournament, which, by the way, I should say, is scheduled for January 8th through 11th in 2026. So we're talking about 4 months. And, you know, time is of the essence for sure.
Yeah, I was talking with Mark Rolfing at the beginning of the show. And, it's really good to see that they're, you know, putting water down. And, of course, you can't just flood it. You've got to be careful how you deliver water to grass that's already in trouble. You know, it's doing the best it can, and it's dying. But to bring it back, he did mention that there's quite a bit of green. And keeping people off the course, which is absolutely, you know, without, you know, you can't just put water on it and have people trampling all over it, as Mark said. So it's something, you know, it's a start. I was thinking, instead of getting into this argument, you know, ship water in, you know, big barrels of it. If he's got all that money, why doesn't he just fly some water in? It just seemed like it went on way too long for it to get into this condition. And by the same token, we also have to be realistic about golf courses in a lot of places in Europe and the United Kingdom. They don't need the grass to be green. It doesn't have to be green.
Yeah.
Right. So play on, you know, something that'll roll better for you. You get more roll on the brown stuff.
Right.
Just and a thought.
Know, yeah. The plantation course, you know, is not a links type of course. It's not designed that way. And, you know, Danielle, I think I've definitely said I'm not an agronomist. More times this past couple weeks than I have ever in my life. But, you know, yeah, Mark, I spoke with him yesterday. He spoke on the Golf Channel.
Yes.
Golf Central yesterday that things are looking up, but certainly we're playing a time game here. I'm sure Mark mentioned, you know, if this event has to be moved, which is definitely under consideration, there's no question, you know, we really have to kind of, you know, play the time game here. If you're going to move this event I would think, you know, California or maybe Las Vegas, maybe Arizona, Scottsdale area, where, you know, there's a lot of golf courses, you've got to give those folks, whoever they are, time to get ready to hold an event of this magnitude.
Yep.
So it's really a game of timing here. Can the folks at Kapalua, Alex Nakajima, the GM, and Max Novina, the tournament executive director, can they assure the PGA Tour that it'll be ready to play in January, which is only, well, I think, I look at their website, thecentury.com, and, you know, we're talking about
131
days or so away. Time is of the essence.
Yes,
sure.
Time is definitely of the essence. And at the same time, I think what we need to remember is a lot of folks go, it's a golf tournament. Yeah, but you see, it's golf tournaments, and particularly the Century, bring in a lot of business for Maui companies. You know, like, let's round up the $10 million, 768,000 $1,000 going to Maui and Hawaii charities. You know, and just the worldwide, you can be in Switzerland and you can see a picture of Kapalua where the century is being played. You know, it's like worldwide advertising goes down the tubes. You know, it's priceless. So it is definitely a terrific tournament. It's for the most part friendly to the earth. It's not like,
yes,
right? It's one of those.
Yeah, that's a good point, Danielle. They do a lot of you know, the Century Insurance, who took over as the title sponsor in 2018, has, you know, super embraced the island of Maui. And let's be clear here. This tournament started in 1999 after Mark Rolfing's Kapalua International, you know, unofficial but very high-level tournament kind of preceded it. This tournament has never left. COVID never left. The devastating wildfire never left. And Century Insurance has just on their own said, we're not just going to, you know, raise charitable funds, which you mentioned they've broken records for at least the last 3 or 4 years in
yep.
a row.
Yep.
This last year was over $750,000, as you said, to local Maui charities, which is, and, you know, I talked with Mark Tillman the other day for one of my stories, who's the director of the Lahaina Luna High School Foundation. They get every cent of their charitable foundation, you know, charitable funding from yeah. the Century. Every nickel comes from that tournament. And the Maui United Way, I could go on and on the impact. But Century Insurance themselves, after the wildfire happened, has donated just straight out of their pocket more than $2.5 million. I know it's more than $2 million that's not counted in that $10 million that you yep. mentioned over the years. And you know, Century has signed up to be the title sponsor of this event through 2035, and they did that a couple years ago. Their commitment to this event is bigger than big, bigger than almost anybody else on tour. And, you know, they've also delved into the world of golf. You watch any tour event and you see a Century commercial. So, it can't be overstated. And if I may add, Danielle, this the Century, you know, and all the TV equipment, and you said it very well, free advertising for the island of Maui, no doubt about it, in the middle of January when everybody on the mainland is freezing their yes. you-know-what's off.
Yes.
You know, this one is tied to the Sony, which is a week later on Oahu at Waialae, and the Mitsubishi, which is a week after that
yep.
at Hualalai on the Big Island.
Uh-huh.
The TV equipment, which is not any small thing that's shipped over here, is used at those two events after, you know, we're talking about big trucks and cameramen and, you know, jobs for those 3 weeks. That sounds small potatoes, but it's not. These are all big deals to the entire state. And if the Century goes, I'm telling you, I'm certain that those other two events would be somewhat in question as well.
Wow. You know, Robert Golias, the Maui News reporter from 1990 to 2024, who is now the general assignment reporter for Hawaii Journalism Initiative. Check him out. It's at MauiNow.com, something I need to do. Robert, we need to stay in touch so that, you know, you can come back on, maybe some updates as we go toward that 181.
Yeah, but
just a few days away, right?
Yeah, 131 or so.
Yes.
Just a little over 4 months away, yes.
Yes. Yeah, let's ship water in. Sir, could you kindly get your airplane loaded with water?
And, you know, Danielle, if I may, before I go, I spoke with West Maui County Council member, Tamara Paulton, and her idea was, you know, let's truck some water up there from, the water reclamation site in Central Maui. That's another idea.
Okay.
But, you know, we need to come up with all the ideas we can.
Thank you very much, Robert. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great, Danielle. Have a great day.
Aloha. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider, home base, Beverly Hills, is with us next. And boy, does this man have, you know, he was at the Ferrari factory. And then there's the museum and a restaurant there. Wow. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Aloha Power Equipment. Yes, we've got the Labor Day week-long celebration. Work smarter, work faster, work easier. It's the riding and walking mowers. It's Aloha Power's Labor Day week-long celebration. Chainsaws, whackers, and a whole lot more on sale. Maruyama is on sale up to 25% off. That's Maruyama. So get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment. Open Monday through Saturday at Evilei. Today, you can get on down to Evilei by the Costco gas station or head out to Waipahu. We'll be back after this.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire. I mean, if you want to know how to go, you got to talk to Michael Patrick Shields, Hollywood insider, home-based in Beverly Hills. God, that's tough. A talk show host, an author, travel writer. He's host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. Award-winning, syndicated talk show. It's a rare bipartisan talk show. He's also heard on 12 Michigan radio stations. He's known for his excellent books written Larry King, Arthur Hills, Ben Wright, Donald Trump. He writes for USA Today, Cigar Aficionado, Golf Magazine, and dozens of other media sites. I don't know how he does as much as he does. If you go to Travel Tattler, it's actually the A position. Go there, and you'll see all of. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
And above all, for a quarter century, the travel correspondent for the Radio Golf Club with Danielle Tucker, the Golf Club radio show, produced by the legendary Rick Gray.
Boy, with that voice.
Or so I'm told.
Yes, with that voice, you can do almost anything. You know, I was really amazed about, here's this. All right, ready, everybody? Upon touching down at LAX after 12 hours in the air, I walked nonstop to the 7-Eleven convenience store near the baggage claim belt for a big gulp to quench my thirst. The attendant at the counter, an earnest young man named Corey, asked politely where I'd been. Bologna, Italy. It is Italy's Emilia-Romagna region, I think I answered. I'm not sure if I've pronounced that all right, but was it for business or pleasure? Corey asked. Italy is always pleasure. But I was also there to attend the annual Motor Valley Festival in you know what? The fact that you were able, you get to go everywhere and you get to meet all these incredible people. Invite yourself to the party. Is that it?
I am very blessed. One of my books is called Invite Yourself to the Party, and the party is on right now in Venezia, in Venice, where the Venice Film Festival is taking place. It's the oldest film festival among them, and I just saw two nights ago that at Evo, which is my favorite little restaurant right on the canal, that they had a big bunch of celebrities in there one night, including George Clooney, and Adam Sandler, he of Happy Gilmore fame, and Laura Dern, who I once appeared with in a movie a few years ago, was in there, and that was just a few, and I'm going to go back to .evo in October, and I can't wait to get there, and if you go to Venice, I hope you'll get a table at .evo too, because when you look up along the ceiling, you will see the wine bottles, exquisite Italian wines that have been consumed by everybody from the Sultan of Brunei to every celebrity you can think of who has gone through there. And so I'm looking very much forward to returning to .evo. And I'll be staying around the corner right at Piazza San Marco at the Londra Palace Hotel.
Wow.
And if you stay there, it's a beautiful, I mean beautiful boutique hotel right on the lagoon. You will wake up to the sunrise over the Grand Canal, and you look right across the way to the little island where Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez got married. And where has the summer gone? But I know where you should go, and that is Londra Palace Hotel in .evo in Venice, if you want to live like these celebrities that are at the film festival right now.
Wow. Are they there still, those celebrities?
Yes, it just got started a couple of days ago. It's out on the Lido, which is one of the islands. And, in fact, Elaine Bulo, who is the manager of the Londra Palace Hotel, lives on the Lido. And so every day he commutes to work on a boat.
Wow.
Not a car. Yeah. Wow.
But you see, what I'm enamored with the Motor Valley Festival and Modena because I would just sit in a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, a Maserati, a Dallara, Ducati. You know, I just sit there and take in the smell of those. I love those cars.
You like the new car smell, huh?
I just
You can do that. You can go see those cars being made where the smell, I guess, is created.
Oh, it's the leather. It's real leather. It's real leather.
You can see these cars. They're handcrafted.
Wow.
Handcrafted, and you can get a tour of the Ferrari if you go there any time of year, even when it isn't the Motor Valley Festival. You can go and very easily take the train in between Venice and Bologna and go to the headquarters, and they have fantastic museums and tours, and these handcrafted Italian cars are there for you. I don't even know. It's very difficult to buy one, even if you have the money, because they only make so many each year, and you have to really sort of get on the list and work your way up. But it's amazing how much automotive production is done in that region. And if you love it, Lamborghini is there also, and Ducati, Maserati, all in one area. And it's a very fun trip. Emilia Romagna
and you can have a lot of fun there. Very okay. sweet.
Yeah, and then see, I went to Michael Patrick Shields, and I was Googling everything I could find, and I found. I love this one. I don't want to ruin your surprises around every turn, but some of the chef's culinary creations parked in front of me were deer tartare, grasparosa grape, roasted beetroot, and salmi sauce, followed by handmade ravioli stuffed with pumpkin and foie gras, bitter almond and apple mustard under an orange reduction with nutmeg, and tiny tortellini arrived snuggles inside a tart crust and 30. Oh, my goodness gracious, that was lunch?
Yeah, by Massimo Bottura, one of the greatest chefs in the world.
And wow.
Massimo is a lovely man who lives right there in Modena, where the Ferrari birthplace is. And he has opened a restaurant that is across the street from the historic Ferrari factory, Cavallino. It's named for the horse that you see on the Ferrari logo. And because the restaurant you're referring to there is open to the public, but it was once Enzo Ferrari's private dining room for his executives.
Ah.
And so Massimo is the chef there and other places as well, of course. But to go in there, there are hints of Ferrari, tasteful, elegant, and his food is very, very, very creative. And it's interesting because at the Green Cat, which is now also in the top 50 restaurants in the world, El Gatto Verde is also in Modena. That's his restaurant at his very boutique resort in the countryside. He's got a garage there full of Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Ducatis. And so he loves cars. And not only is Massimo aligned with Ferrari, he's also aligned with Gucci. So if you go Ooh. Into Florence or you go into Beverly Hills, he's got restaurants, osterias, at the Gucci stores and the Gucci Museum. And so his food is creative artwork, and also, as you saw, mouthwatering, to say the least. And he's a beautiful, lovely little man, and his wife is an American, and they're very much entrepreneurs. And, you know, he's cooked for the Pope and Georgia Maloney and anybody you can think of. He's just great, great fun.
Great. It's fabulous. The things that you've experienced and the places yes. you've been. And I've got another something that I bumped into on my journey through Google. Puerto Rico's Royal Sonesta, a resort you can bring mother home to.
That's what I did. I took my mother there, and she had a great time.
I know. She was celebrating her birthday. And Michael Patrick writes, I do not dare reveal a lady's age except to say the first digit would be pronounced in Spanish, ocho.
Si.
Si. Si.
Feliz año.
Yes, yes, yes. And so I brushed up on my Espanol because I took mi madre to Puerto Rico for a winter getaway at the Royal Sonesta San Juan, a resort on Isla Verde Beach, or Isla Verde. What do you want to say? My mother would get some sun with her son. See how he writes? You really are creative. She is the one who taught me to travel, and I always wondered about this question, which is why I'm revealing it right now. She is the one who taught me to travel by taking our family on vacations to Houghton Lake, Colchester, Disney World, Cedar Point, and more. Wow. So that's where you got the bug to go?
These were all pack-up-the-car trips, by the way. We weren't flying around in airplanes.
Yes.
And it was an adventure, just pack, you know, the anticipation of travel, of knowing you were going to go and packing up the car and, you know, what you were allowed to take, how much you could fit, and being with the family. Do you remember your very first trip?
Oh, gosh, it was camping. We yeah. like Sequoia National Park or something. When
Ooh.
Yeah. And I think I'm not sure. We took the cat with us.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And it disappeared, but we just followed the string. We had a little leash, and apparently it got scared. You know, who knows what was walking by when it looked outside, and it was way at the bottom of a sleeping bag. It had gone up to the beginning of it, weren't hiding like that was going to hide. But, hey, you know, better than being out in the open.
So there could have been a bear or something, you mean? Oh, and the cat had its instinct, so it buried itself in the sleeping bag?
Yes.
Wow.
I know, but I wouldn't leave my cat at home. I think I have a problem.
Boy.
That's
See,
too
that's
much
a
fun.
Cool trip. That's a cool story. Very memorable.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, my mother was one of those, you know, let's go. Let's do something. Let's get out. Let's go into the wilderness. And we did.
And there was no golf course in the Sequoia National Park, I'm guessing.
No, there wasn't. None that... my mother probably would have not wanted to go play golf since my father spent most of his time on the golf course.
Oh, did he?
But
he was gone on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But sailing, you know what I really like doing is sailing. Leonardo da Vinci, one of those ships, you know, and you can go through this, you know, Panama Canal, and it takes you down the coast and up the coast, and you get to stop and shop and get back on. And it's, boy, why ever dock for permanently, you know?
Well,
just keep the boat.
I'm supposed to be seeing a new ship in December in Miami from Oceana Cruises called the Allura.
Oh.
They just launched it a few months ago, and I'm supposed to be getting a look at that.
So oh.
I don't think there are any sails on it, but there are sailors for sure, and I hope to be one of them. Oceana Allura.
You must call and talk to us about it, because there's really is sailing on a ship and stopping at different ports of call, it beats flying. It just
well, hey, I remember swimming off Maui there near Kaanapali and seeing a submarine surface that go between the islands, and that was one hell of a cool sight for sure.
You have the best memories. Thank you so much for bringing out some of mine. That was awesome. Thank you.
Mahalo and aloha and arrivederci.
Arrivederci. And we want to thank the people who make this show possible. We welcome the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before you round or wind down after work, you know. The Newtown Range is operated by Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good fun. Yes, good food. So important. It's Aloha Power's Labor Day week-long celebration. So you work smarter and faster and easier. They're riding and walking mowers, their chainsaws, their weed whackers, and more sale. Maruyama is on sale up to 25% off. This doesn't happen very often. So get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday at Iwile next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. And the Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It is the gift that lasts forever for self, for health, for friendship, and family. Hey, go golf. Have some fun. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. Now, you know, if you're wondering about the game of golf, and you know, a lot of guys go out and play and you haven't gone, or a lot of gals go out and play and you don't want to, go take a lesson. There are so many great teachers in the state of Hawaii, and I have so many on the show. Take advantage. And it doesn't have to be a long one, you know, and you could just focus on the putter. Focus on an iron. Just one club at a time. Don't get overwhelmed. And thank you to the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. You know, they can't find you if you don't have a sign up. And it's really frustrating because there are no numbers. You can say, I'm at 1212, whatever, but there's never a 1212 to find. So put a sign on your door. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.